Father, this morning we come to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We just thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. 25 days, Lord, into this new month, the second month. We just thank you, Lord. Thank you. This morning we commit all the dear ones out there, Father, into thy hands, the ones who are here. Touch the sick, Lord. We speak healing. We speak life. Touch the oppressed, Lord. We speak deliverance. We speak your life. Touch the weak, Lord. We speak your strength. Meet each one, Lord, at their point of need. Protect your people, Lord, your servants. For many are the plans of the wicked one to steal, to kill, to destroy. But Lord, we lift you up, Jesus, for you have come to give us life. We receive that life by faith. And may the entrance of your word bring light and life, Lord, because your word said, you said your words are life and spirit. So this morning, speak to us once again. Equip us that we may stand steadfast in faith and we stand in that living hope that you have given us, O God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. We go now to the most exciting portions of the Bible, starting with Revelation 20. We'll read verses 1 to 6. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. And the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But there shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. This is the blessed hope. Okay, what saints have been waiting, believing, waiting, waiting, going through everything, because this was what was promised. But there is a controversy over this 1,000 year or the millennium. Reign, not the millennials, that is Z generation, not that, but the millennium reign of Jesus Christ, okay, because there are three groups there, okay. One is this group which is called the post-millennium group, which they say this will only happen like right now is the golden age of the church, and Satan is actually bound. And the church has replaced Israel, and the church is the new Israel. This is where the replacement theory comes from, and that the kingdom of God, when it talks about the 1,000 years, it doesn't really mean 1,000 years. Okay? And please remember that the church is going through this golden age. The church will literally bring forth the kingdom of God, and that's why we have to, I always told, you have to be careful about the kingdom theology, because a part of the kingdom theology, a lot of people in that group believe in this. So when we talk about dominion, please remember, when they talk about dominion and the Bible talk about dominion, now they mean two different things. And the prosperity gospel actually is based on this, that the church reigns for 1,000 years and then Jesus just comes to take over. Okay, so that is almost on the verge of heresy. Okay, all these big dudes you see on TV, they believe in that. Then there is a second group which talks about it's amillennialism. Okay, that they are not very sure about the time, unspecified period. Okay, but other than that, they also literally believe in what the post-millennials believe. Then you have, of course, the pre-millennialism, which means there is a literal 1,000-year period of Jesus Christ on earth. 1,000 years. Okay, so don't spiritualize always truth. What is literal is literal. What is spiritual, because you will notice in this portion, in 6 verses, and actually in verse 7 also, 6 times the word that is repeated over and over is 1,000 years. So it is spiritual, it is not actually 1,000 years, human 1,000 years. Okay, then you, God doesn't have to keep repeating it over and over again, 1,000 years. So 6 times it is repeated that 1,000 years, 1,000 years, 1,000 years, and it is literal. The issue is this, 1,000-year rule of Jesus, right, 1,000 years in term of period is mentioned only in this portion of the Bible. It's not there anywhere else. But we need to understand, this second coming of Jesus Christ is mentioned more in the Bible than the first coming. From Genesis onwards, it is full of that. That's why it's very little is mentioned here. We'll say, what is this 1,000 years like? Is there going to be a literal 1,000 years? What is it going to be like? And the Old Testament is literally full of it. And this is where they got confused between the suffering Messiah and the reigning Messiah. But the reigning Messiah is what they kept on waiting. And it was always connected to David and David's descendant. And that's why, like when we looked last year, whenever Jesus or the apostles came and preached on the kingdom of God, the crowds gathered because they were expecting the literal coming of the Messiah. And again, both the post and the second group, the amillennials, they say that Satan is bound now. But the question is Satan bound now? Okay. Satan is not bound now. Satan was defeated. Okay. Satan was defeated, but he was not bound. Because when you say Satan is bound, you contradict it both by scripture and by reality. Reality, then there is no deception, there is no temptation. Okay, no deception. Okay, and let's look how this is a large group. Okay, large group. They started in the 3rd century, and you will see them all. That's why I keep telling children, don't unnecessarily dwell in the internet and try to learn scripture on your own. All you will be confused. That gift is given to people who have been put in the church. Please listen to us. We do our homework. We do our homework. And we give you enough stuff 7 days a week that you have only time to listen to us. Then you come on church listening to all these other people on the internet, which was never there for almost thousands of years of human church history. They only listen to their pastors and their elders. They never listen to anybody outside. The confusion today is that everybody is listening to everybody. So everybody, they automatically become teachers. Have you noticed? Everybody is teaching everybody else. And you are supposed to be silent and not teach anybody else. And pray for one another. You are not asked to teach anybody else. You are asked to pray for one another. Teaching is given to specifically people who have learned to handle the word of truth correctly. It's a call, and the call comes with a heavy load, because if you go err in the teaching, you will be judged very strictly. So it's good to keep silent and don't try to witness. Witness, like the Samaritan woman. Witness. So that people are attracted to Christ. Bring them into the kingdom and then hand them over to people who have been ordained to teach. Because the confusion in the 21st century is exactly what Daniel says. Knowledge will increase. But it's not the true knowledge of God. So this is where confusion comes from. Confusion comes from. Because you know everywhere the confusion is coming is from, because people are running all over the internet. All over the internet, and God never, like, until your children started going to school, they never contradicted the parents. They started rebelling against the parents is because the teachers, instead of just teaching, subjects also started teaching life, which contradicted with what the parents told them. And rebellion, because you were not supposed to listen to that. You were supposed to have only one voice. One voice. You need to understand. Rebellion comes in because you listen to multiple voices. If Satan hadn't come and spoken in the garden, and if they hadn't listened, this would not have happened. So find a believing church and listen there. Don't walk all around the place. Acts chapter 5 and verse 3. Okay. Acts 5, 3, Romans 16, 20. Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart? How can Satan fill Ananias' heart if he is bound? Okay, how can he fill? Romans 16, 20. And God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. It hasn't happened. Crush. Okay. 1 Corinthians 5, 5. Deliver such a one to Satan. How can you deliver somebody to Satan when Satan is bound? Okay, I can go through the scripture all the way and you will actually see Satan is not bound. Satan is not. 1 Corinthians 7, 5. 2 Corinthians 2, 11. Okay. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you. Okay. Lest Satan should take advantage of us. Okay. 2 Corinthians 12, 11, 14. No wonder for Satan himself. How can a bound person do all this? Okay, so all the way, okay, from Revelation on till Revelation. Okay. Because if you go to Revelation 20 and verse 3, when we read there, 23. He cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up and set a seal on him so that he would deceive the nation. So the question is, if Satan is bound, as two groups say, then there can be no deception, because deception is how he does. He has been disarmed in the tents. He does not have the power like before, but the power to deceive is always there, and that's how he deceives. So if he is bound, there can be no deception, and all you have to look around and look inside and you will see the amount of deception. Okay. And second reason why this 1,000 years is literal 1,000-year rule of Jesus Christ is because God is not a man that he should lie. The promises from the beginning, from Abraham onwards, Abrahamic covenant promise given, the covenant of land given, the covenant that is made with David, the promises Jesus gives in the new covenant, they all must be fulfilled. So in the Old and the New Testament, you have promises that actually talk of a time of peace on this current eternal earth where righteousness will flood. And some of those promises, if you read it carefully, is not compatible with the new creation in Revelation 21. Okay? It contradicts. We'll look at one portion. Okay, Isaiah 65, verse, go from verse 17 onwards. Isaiah 65, verse 17 onwards. For behold, I create new heavens and new earth, and the former shall not be remembered to come to mind. Be glad and rejoice forever in what I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. But this is not talking about the new heavens and new earth of Revelation 21. By the time tribulation is over, the state of the earth will be worse than the picture of Gaza you get now. Because if you look at the judgments of God, this earth will be like kind of messed up. So he's going to renew the earth, okay? And he says, and be glad and rejoice, for no more shall an infant from the lip but a few days, an old man who has not fulfilled the days, for the child shall die 100 years old. Now, when we use the word die, you need to understand in Revelation 21, there is no death. In the new creation, there is no death. There is no death. Death is gone. So it is not the same. Okay. The sinner being 100, there is no sinner or there is no curse. The new creation in Genesis Revelation 21 onwards, there is no curse. There is no sin. There is no death. Okay, so we understand that when Isaiah is talking about this, it is talking about the literal reign of Jesus Christ on this fallen earth. And there are still people who survived the tribulation and came through. Okay, millions of them. We only hear about a 300 of them, 200 or 300 million army that comes through Euphrates. But that doesn't mean all the remaining population joined in them. So a lot of people will survive. I don't know how many, maybe billions survive, come through it. And these are the nations, flesh and blood nations, that will inhabit the earth. Okay, so Isaiah is talking about things here which is incompatible with Revelation 21. Revelation 21 is a new creation. You have saw a new heavens, new earth, the old has passed away. Here it is talking about the old one. In the new one, you will realize there is no sin, there is no death, there is no curse. If you look at Revelation 21 verse 4. 21:4. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no death, no sorrow, no cry, no pain, nothing. All this is passed away. Okay. All this is no death at all. Okay. And if you read 22, it will see there is no curse also. Everything is passed away. And one of the purposes, people will ask, what is the whole purpose? One of the purposes of the millennium reign is to demonstrate to us what earth would have been if Adam had not rebelled. Adam and his children would have reigned forever on earth. Adam didn't do it. So the last Adam, okay, and his saints will reign. And above all, it is already there in Genesis 1. When you have the creation order, God created everything in 6 days. And on the seventh day, he rested. And on the seventh, he'd rested. So you divide the first creation into 7,000 years. The earth will receive its rest during the last 1,000 years. Okay. And those who believe in him by faith enter into that rest now, knowing that one day there will be a rest on this earth. So we have to decide on which viewpoint we hold, because it immediately changes the way you live. The reason the prosperity gospel believers live the way, talk the way, dress the way, because dress the way. Honestly, it's got all got to do with theology. If you believe, you have no idea unconsciously how much the kingdom has permeated into the consciousness of the church. And it actually demonstrates. Okay, so if you believe this is the golden age of the church is dominating, the church is ruling, the church is taking over, Jesus has got nothing to do with it. And the church has reached its golden age fulfillment, Jesus just comes over and takes over. But that's not what scripture says. There is no Satan, Satan is bound, there is no deception, nothing at all. Then you are not being deceived. Then whatever you are doing is right. Okay, so you need to understand. Okay, that is how it comes. So there is going to be a literal 1,000 years. Okay, right now it's the reign of Jesus Christ spiritual in the lives of his children for 2,000 years. Okay, and the battle is over lordship. Okay, it is spiritual, and Satan is there to deceive. In Revelation 11 and verse 15, we also see the prophetic fulfillment. The seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So there's a point in which Jesus comes, and he will come. In Revelation 19:11, we see how Jesus comes. Okay, he comes in righteousness, he judges and makes war. Okay, and we saw in the parables of Jesus talking about how he will come and how he will judge. Okay, judge also means has two applications. One, he judges people, their guilt and their good. The second thing, judge also means to rule. Also means to rule. Okay, so he will judge and he will make war. And everyone who opposed him, who rebelled against him in verse 20 and 21. Okay, you will see in verse 19, 20 and 21. The beast was captured and he was thrown alive and the prophet into the burning lake of fire. And in verse 21, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled. Who are these? These are the armies that surrounded Jerusalem. That doesn't mean everybody joined. You know, it really doesn't happen. All the others who were scattered around the rest of the world, they did not come. So they were spared. The remaining were spared. These were the ones who were killed. And the first thing God does after Jesus has destroyed them, the first thing that does is what we are reading in Revelation 20 verses 1 to 3. Now, who is this angel? It does not matter. Okay. People try to presume it is this angel, Michael, but the name is not man. It doesn't matter who it is. It's just an angel. Basically, what God is saying is that this false conception that Satan is even remotely equal to God. Okay, this myth, all these people who believe in other gods really think that he's somewhat equal. He's not even, God just sends one angel and says, bind him and put him down. Okay, God allowed Satan to function for his own purpose. Because Satan himself is a tool used by God to sanctify his saints. Okay, in verse 2 you have his many names, like we saw in Revelation 12. He's called the dragon, he's called the serpent of old, he's called the devil, and he's called Satan. And he's bound for 1,000 years. For 1,000 years we will see there is no deception. There is no deception. Okay, because he is bound. So when you tell about Satan is bound, it means along with Satan, his entire demonic host is also bound. Okay, don't ever think that it is Satan who is tempting us. Satan has got other things to do, but his demons are the ones who tempt us. Okay, he is not going to waste his time over us. But when Satan is bound, and if there is no deception, that means all the fallen ones, the fallen angels, the demonic entities, everything is bound and thrown into that bottomless pit. And the Bible says, what happens? He's shut and sealed. No getting out for 1,000 years. And then in verse 4, we have the millennial reign of Jesus Christ beginning. Verse 4, and I saw thrones. Okay. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there were not just one throne, there were thrones. Now please don't ever think these are visions. So we'll think that Jesus is sitting in the middle and all the thrones are in a line like that. No, no, this is all over the world. There will be kings and there will be lords. Like we have the government functioning now. Now the smallest level is at the corporation level is the ward member. You need to understand the ward member is at the smallest level. That's how the government functions. From the ward level all the way to the president is how the system works. And that is why we are asked to overcome. And depending upon, if you want to put our parallel, you can be a ward member. You will be literally in charge of that ward. But it won't be like democracy. That ward member will have absolute authority over the people. Okay, he will rule on behalf over Jesus Christ. That's why it says you take charge of 10 cities. So some gets 5 cities, some gets 1 city. That's how. It will be a monarchy, absolute monarchy. These are the lords and these are the kings. Okay. And then the Bible says over there, then I saw the souls of those, and judgment was committed. And among them he sees those who were. It's not that only those who were martyred. You will see saints from 2,000 years, the overcomers, who had not worshipped. And what happened? They came and they reigned with Jesus for 1,000 years. And they are called blessed. The rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Okay, this is the first resurrection. And always this hypothetical question is there. If this is the first resurrection, are all believers part of the first resurrection? Many will say yes, I will say no. The ones who are part of the first resurrection are those who will reign. And to reign, you should have overcome. And if you have not overcome, you will not reign. And you will not reign, then you have nothing to do for 1,000 years. What are you going to do for 1,000? So God says, you can wait. I will raise you up in the second resurrection and you will be judged, but you receive no rewards, you know, results. So you will see those who are of the first resurrection are blessed because they will reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. And the reason they reign is because they are holy. They are holy. They understood the concept, be holy as I am holy. Is he who has part in that? Holy means they were set apart for God during this lifetime. Over such, the second death has no power. The second death has two aspects. One, it is the lake of fire. Second thing, it's a fire that tests your works. Okay, it's a fire. So when you're talking about second death, it is always put across as fire. So this fire, the Bible says in Corinthians, will go through our works. And if it burns up, he himself will be saved as if coming through the fire. Why? Because his work, his salvation was based on the work of Jesus Christ. So keep that there. Okay, so the first and the most important part of the millennium rule is that. Most important is that Christ will reign visibly, physically, and personally, not spiritually. We will see Christ Jesus. Right now, he's ruling our lives as much as we allow him spiritually. But then, no. And he will reign over the remaining humanity. Okay? And he will reign from Jerusalem, which is also called Zion, and people actually will love his reign. In Isaiah chapter 2 verses 3 and 4. Many people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. We shall walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between nations, rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. That's the end of all war. Okay, you need to read these verses there outside the UN headquarters. It has never happened. That's never happened. Because it's not possible. You can have a scripture, but this is something which you need to realize only God can do, only Christ can do. He's the one who will bring the end. There'll be no weapons of warfare anymore. It'll be all be destroyed. Nothing will be there left because there will be no war. Okay? In Hebrews 1, and verse 8, the Father tells the Son, right? To the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. In Zechariah 14 and verse 9, the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be, the Lord is one and his name one. He will reign. Okay? Jesus is that one. David was promised that he would have a descendant who would rule forever. And Jesus is that one. Psalm 2, verses 6 to 9. Then Daniel 2, 44 and 4, 34. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. And you shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. So this is talking about Jesus ruling from Zion. Daniel 2:44 and then 4:34. In the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. And 4, at the end of the time, Nebuchadnezzar lifted my eyes to heaven and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And Zechariah 9 and verse 10. 9:10. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. Battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from river to the ends of the earth. Okay, so the first most important part of the millennium reign, Jesus will reign from Jerusalem, literally, physically. Second thing you will understand is Israel will be restored. In Romans 11:25, we know the remnant, 2/3 will die, 1/3 will come through. For I do not desire, brethren, you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of Israel has come in. And then verse 26 says, all of Israel, the remnant remaining. So all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Okay, so Israel, it will happen. In Zechariah 13:1 is the fulfillment of this. Where you see in Zechariah 13 and verse 1. In that day a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Israel's boundaries was decided by God right in the beginning in Genesis 15 and verse 18. On the same day, Jesus, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham saying, to your descendants I have given this land from the river of Egypt, that is Nile, to Euphrates. This will be the boundary. And if you read other portions, you will see Jordan, Syria, Iraq, all will become part of the, this hasn't, even under Solomon, this never happened. So this has to be fulfilled. So in the millennium reign of Jesus Christ, there is a physical Israel, flesh and blood, physical Israel, the remnant can, they came through. And they will multiply like crazy because people will live like the days of Genesis, 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, 400 years, because the effects of sin and curse will be contained, not removed, but contained. So people will live long and multiply. And therefore Israel's boundaries will be set from Nile to Euphrates. That is when this will be fulfilled. Okay. And the rest of the world will be given to the Gentiles, the others. And in Matthew 19 and verse 28, this is what Jesus tells when Peter asks, we have left everything, what will we get? Jesus said, this is what you will get. 19:28. Jesus said, assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So there is Christ and there are the 12 apostles. Who is the 12th one? I am not sure. I presume it is Paul. But they will rule over Israel. The renewed, restored land of Israel spreading from Nile to Euphrates will have two kings over them, and those two kings will be the 12 apostles. So Israel is a reality. That's why you cannot transplant Israel by saying the church is the new Israel. Israel is Israel, the church is church, and the covenant still stands. But Israel will go through all they are going through because they rejected the Messiah. But at the end, they will accept the Messiah, and that crowd, Jesus will rule the whole world. These 12 apostles will rule over them. This is a millennium reign. The church will reign with him. Remember, the church will reign with Christ in Revelation 3:21. Jesus told even Laodicea. Yeah, 3:21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Okay, plus remember, we are part of the overcomers. We won't rule over Israel and Israel won't rule over us. Okay, rule over us. But we will be put in charge depending upon our rewards over other parts of the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 2 and 2 Timothy 2:12. 6:2. Do you not know saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matter? So don't look at the rulers of the world today. Their pomp and their glory and their might. In the millennium realm, they won't be anywhere around. They won't be anywhere around. Even the Christian leaders who are believing leaders of over nations, they won't be anywhere around. Okay. And they will be ruled by simple saints. The lady who was MCH sweeper, who walked with God, prayed her way through, brought others to the Lord, they will reign. Okay, so don't look at that and say they will reign for 1,000 years. They will reign for 1,000 years. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2:12. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Okay. Remember, seat of the government. The government will be all, the whole world will be under one government. The seat of the government will be Jerusalem. Okay, Jerusalem. There is others who will say, these 12 apostles, I'm not sure about it, but I'll leave it out. Scripturally it can be proven. The 12 apostles has been the kings, Jesus being over the whole world, and David, resurrected David over Israel. Over Israel. Okay, so they talk about all that. That's how it is going to be. Okay. We will have a new population. There are the saints who are in this new body. They don't get married. They don't have children. Nothing. That's the saints who will rule. But the flesh and blood will fill the earth. Micah chapter 4 verses 1 to 4. Okay. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountain. It shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow into it. Many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the Lord. He will teach us his ways. We shall walk in his paths, for out of Zion the law shall go forth. The word of the Lord come from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, rebuke strong nations, all this thing, and everyone shall sit under his vine, under his fig tree. No one will make them afraid for the mouth of the Lord. Remember, there will be no Planned Parenthood, abortion clinics, nothing. There will be nothing. Okay, no contraceptives, nothing. Because nobody has to fear. Just have your babies. It's a peaceful world. There's plenty and more for everybody. Okay, you need to always ask, why do people abort babies? What is the reason? One, it is fear. Career, fear, okay? But there's no careers. Everybody is serving God. Nobody is after a career. You cannot choose your career. But there's no career to choose. Okay? Two, there's no fear. How will I feed? Oh, one more mouth. How will I feed? There's God says you can have as many mouths you want in the house. There's plenty and more in the house, in this land. The land will be full. There'll be nobody hungry. There will be no housing shortage, there is no economic turmoil, then there is no market fluctuations, no bird flu, no chickens being killed before a new president comes, so that people will not have eggs. Okay, all kind of crazy stuff, all these things won't happen. Okay, all these things won't happen because it's Christ's rule, there will be no sin. So you can, there will be, and the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of God. That's Isaiah 11 and verse 9. Okay, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all of my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Okay, so the earth will be full of people. Second, nature will be renewed, and it has to be, because remember, earth will be like devastated during the tribulation judgments of God. In Isaiah 35 and verse 1, the wilderness and the waste shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. I do believe when the millennial reign begins and Jesus starts restoring the earth, there will be no deserts. Rivers will start flowing in the deserts. The desert starts shall blooming. Okay, there will be no wilderness. It will be like, this whole world will change. Okay, the whole world will change. Isaiah 11 and verse 6 and 65, 25. Okay, yeah, we will go to this one later. Okay, or we can look at that also, okay. Yeah, 65. Yeah, we go to 11:6, okay. Yeah, the wolf shall also dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion, the fatling together, and little child shall lead them. Okay, the whole thing is going to change. We are going to go back to how it was in the beginning. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. And you'll say, how can they? The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Okay, and there will be no fear of man for the animals or the animals for man. That fear is taken away. Okay, in Isaiah 11, verse 7 to 9. Okay, Isaiah 11, 7 to 9. The cow and the bear shall graze, the young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play with the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Think about it. It will be completely, let us say, Lemmy is born in the millennium reign. Okay. And Lemmy is like 5 years old, and she will tell Jyoti, Mama, I'm going out to play with whom? I'm going to play with the cobra. And Mama will say, go. Why is that we don't allow our children to go out to play unsupervised because of danger, both from animals and man? But nobody will need to babysit. Nobody will have to worry about children getting harmed because that has been taken away. This is how it was supposed to be. And it will be there for 1,000 years. That's the way it will be. Right? And it's Ezekiel 34 and verse 25. I will make a covenant of peace with them and cause the wild beasts to cease from the land, and they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. Okay? And human life will change. People will live long. Isaiah 65 and verse 20. 65 and verse 20. No more shall an infant from the live but a few days. No stillbirth, no infant mortality, nothing. Okay. Nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For a child shall die 100 years old. If somebody dies at 100 years old, they will say, a child died in our vicinity. That is how it will be. Okay, because this is what, it's not that sin has been removed completely, it is under control. Okay, sin will not be manifested, the curse effects have been curtailed, and there will be no disabilities. Isaiah 60, 35 and verse 6. 35 and verse 6. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Okay. And sixth one, all implements of war is destroyed and it will be peace everywhere. Psalm 72 verse 3 to 7. These are all messianic psalms, okay, of the second coming. Mountains will bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness. He will bring justice to the poor of the people. He will save the children of the needy, will break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear you as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generation. It shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing, like showers the water the earth. In his days the righteous shall flourish in abundance of peace until the moon is no more. Isaiah 2 and verse 4. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And specifically to Israel, Israel, that nation which has only seen war and strife and no peace. Ezekiel 37:26. And then final verse for today, Micah 4:3. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. And Micah 4:3. He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But this is the beginning of the millennium reign that will take place for 1,000 years. And the word we need to believe is this. Blessed are those who are part of the first resurrection. Blessed and holy. Otherwise we can wait 1,000 years. Yes, this is what it is. The whole church has been waiting for, and thousands have gone to their death knowing that the promises of Christ. So 20 is the millennium reign. Much is not mentioned over there because it's all there in the Old Testament. And 21 we will have. And Satan will be released after 1,000 years. We'll look at it next week or maybe next week or this week. And then we will have the final rebellion. All are destroyed. A new creation begins. There the Father is the King. Okay. God the Father doesn't step in until these 1,000 years are over. 1,000 years Jesus rules. And then when he has put the last enemy under his feet, he will hand the kingdom over to the Father. And he himself will come under the Father. That is Corinthians 15. But till then the Father is given it all to the Son. All judgment, everything. When the Son has finished every judgment, he will hand the kingdom over to God. And we have eternity beginning. Okay, eternity hasn't begun yet. We are still in time. There is sun and moon and sunrise and sunset. All that. Day and night, people will sleep. Saints won't sleep, but people will sleep. Because we are in the resurrection body. We are not going to sleep. That body doesn't need rest. But the others are in the old body. They will still go to sleep. Okay, but there will be no crime because saints don't sleep. They see, they monitor, they patrol. Okay, and they don't get tired of patrolling. Every gully will be under the saints. And the people will live with peace. I mean, think about a system where the police are all absolutely righteous. The only one who will be upset are the crooks. But the normal people will be very happy. Everything is fair and righteous and equity. Everybody will be happy. Okay, but that's not what happens. So we will go to Peter and we shall pray. This is the day. So though President Trump talking about the golden age of America, the golden age of the world hasn't begun yet. And it'll be no comparison. There's no comparison. There will be no thieves in the government. You know, you won't need a Dodge. Department of Government Efficiency. You won't need that. Everybody will be efficient in the government. Because only they become part of the government. Heaven, it will be a miracle. He may make it to Mars, but to heaven, he needs to repent and believe. The others will make it. Many of the others in the government will make it because they do believe. They are babies, but they are very articulate. But please remember, look at the articulate and talent and all. Remember, almost all in the government who are believers are spiritual babies. They are not spiritual giants. They are intellectual giants, but not spiritual giants. They are babies when it comes to. So don't judge them. Don't judge them. Oh, look at him, look at him, look at that, look at her. No, they are all babies. Pray for them. They were not asked to shepherd a church. They were asked to shepherd a nation. A problem with America is that they expect every president to be a pastor. And every pastor to be a president. No, it doesn't work like that. Pastor is not a president. He tells us, you do what you want to do, I will teach. Take control of your life. But they don't want that. They want pastor to be a president and the pastor's wife to be first lady. That's what they brought. And what do they want the pastor to be? The president to be a pastor. He has to be holy. He should have no issues in his life. Where will you get a president? Like even Lincoln wasn't like that. His wife was cuckoo. This is a problem. You confuse between the two. You don't confuse between the two. The pastor is not a president and the president is not a pastor. The president becomes a pastor. He will be a miserable failure in the system until Jesus comes. How is he going to handle the system? There was only one pastor in American history, if I swear right, who tried to contest and he did not win. His name was Mike Huckabee. He was an ordained Baptist pastor. He's the current American ambassador to Israel. And his daughter is the governor of Arkansas, Sarah Huckabee. So don't ever think that. It is good. He should be a righteous man. But a pastor will be very difficult. Very difficult. Because he wouldn't know what to do, peace or war. Okay. Because till Jesus comes, kings will go to war. cannot have peace without war. Okay, so don't get this confused. This is where America gets all confused. Totally confused that they bring one with the other and try to mix this both. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. When Christ comes, that is how it works. Till then, understand how the balance. Yes, let's have Peter in the meantime. Church is the kingdom of God. It stands in the gap. The prayer of the church every day is, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. They stand in the gap and they intercede. They stand as witnesses wherever God has placed them. And those who are sent out preach the gospel of the kingdom to the ends of this world so that the end can come. The eternal reign of God's Son on earth. We are called to pray. Men ought to always pray and not lose heart. So that when the Son of Man comes, and He will come in the clouds, every eye will see Him. As lightning splits the sky from east to west, the Bible says when He comes second time, every eye will see Him, from the furthest islands to those in Jerusalem. No eye will miss the coming of Jesus when He comes to take over this world. That's the day we wait for. But till then, we stand and we pray. So this morning, once again, Lord, we pray. We pray for Your servants. We pray for those who are in harm's way. Those who have been called at different levels, O Lord, to stand up for the King and His kingdom. For those who are in government, to see that people have peace. Those who are behind pulpits, hearts that they preach the word uncompromised. Those who have been sent into the workplaces to be witnesses of this King and His kingdom. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Be with your children everywhere. Watch over their going out and coming in. Bless the work of their hands. Let there be peace and joy in their homes and in their lives, O God. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Once again, we thank you. We bless your holy name, Father. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name. And we declare, thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.